Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Hey, PC, do you know that people in Britain work longer hours than in any other country in Europe?
And they get less holidays. Smashing, isn't it?
What about the other side of life, you know, spending time with your family, getting together with friends?
Oh, so you'd have them bunking off home to relax instead, would you? Making photo albums of each other being unproductive, creating sentimental home movies of newly generated offspring.
Well, that is kind of what iLife's all about.
Look, Mac, if you want to survive in the business world, you have to be driven, efficient, single-focused. Eye of the tiger, claw of the eagle, tentacle of the octopus. Actually, never mind the tentacle. Don't really need that. Well, maybe for collating documents.
Hello, and welcome to Locast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your very sexy host, Airfun Elijah. Join me today. He likes the slap of the bass, but if you don't tighten up that Cult of Mac story, he'll play a tune on your face. Lewis Wallace is here.
Wow, that was accurate and it rhymed. Well done, sir.
So tough. Also joining us, he's hairy as heck, drives a van. He's basically one Letterman's jacket away from actually being Teen Wolf. Buster.
Hey. Accurate, I would say, yeah.
What's Teen
Come
Wolf's friends
there? You, I guess.
The Teen Wolf tour? Oh, dude. Yeah. That's going to be very popular. I'll be your... What was his friend's name? Miles?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that his friend's name? I know that movie is like so ancient. It came out in like 1972 or something. But still classic. I would definitely drive you around in that van.
Oh, dude,
what a duo we'd make. Yeah. Lewis, you can come too.
Maybe I could sell hot dogs or something.
Actually... You could use your dart skills to throw hot dogs into the crowd. How about that?
Whoa, I love it.
That would actually be amazing. People open their mouth and you can just chuck one right into their mouth. That'd be something that would go viral on YouTube for sure.
Jeez.
Where are we going? I don't know. Okay. Hey, welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. You might think it's a horribly boring week with absolutely no news, but we've scraped the bottom. It's not the bottom of the barrel. It's towards the bottom. But we found some good Apple news stories this week to talk about. So I think you're going to want to stay tuned. Here's what we have. So as many of you know, the WWDC press invites have come out. And guess who got an invitation?
Oh.
That's right. So we'll talk about WWDC. We have to. And then new details are out this week about the Apple Car that shown at his take a another very sad and disappointing churn. We'll tell you about where it's at now, and we'll have a good cry together about what could have been. Also, it's the 12-year anniversary of one of Apple's best creations. Bet you can't guess what it is. There's no way you can guess. Came out 12 years ago. Well, we'll talk about it, and I think you're going to be very delighted to hear a conversation about it. I don't know why you would be, but we're going to talk about it. Also, we're going to wrap up with an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, the segment where we learn more about each other than we'd like to know. And you might be wondering where Leander Caney is. Even though he promised us last week that he would be here, he, at the last moment, realized that he has a graduation to go to today. He got his GED. Is that right, Lewis?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I kid. His daughter, what a wonderful day. His daughter got she's graduating from college day, right?
That is correct.
I feel like she just started college. That's insane.
Like started grade school. Yeah. I can't believe it. It's just time flies.
I mean, the last time I saw her, I think she was in high school. So now is she going to come work for the Cult of Mac Empire? Is that the next move?
Oh, she already does.
She does?
Yeah.
Is she going to come take over and help tighten up the ship?
Well, she does a lot of work with the watch store, as a matter of
fact.
Wonderful. Does a lot of customer service right there behind the scenes.
Is she coming on full time, though?
I don't think so. In fact, I think she's going to go on to get a master's degree.
Oh,
so,
that's too bad. She could really bring a lot of law and order to that place, really help tighten it up.
Nobody gets out of college and goes to work these days, right? You get out of college, you go back to college.
Yeah, or you just live at your parents' house for a while in the basement. But the Caneys don't have a basement.
Leander was discussing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, where are we going to put her?
Like what?
Where are we going to put her?
She's done with college. She's coming back. Where is she going to go? Well, she could go in their guest house.
Yeah.
You know, well, nice and cozy in there.
Yeah. They do have a basement. I don't think anybody would want to live down there.
Oh, it's you know what? Place. I completely forgot about that creepy-ass basement. That's where I stayed when I was in San Francisco, in that really super creepy cobweb-filled basement. Yeah.
Did it scar you?
I still have nightmares about it. I think I had one last night. Actually, I woke up screaming. I was like, ah!
Yeah. Last time I was down there, I hit my head on something.
Yeah. Probably a giant cockroach.
Jeez.
You know what's scary about that basement is it's absolutely packed to the brim with products that have never been reviewed. And if there's ever... it's like walking through a labyrinth, like a Egyptian pyramid full of old product boxes, like crusty, and there's old boxes with cobwebs everywhere. If there's ever an earthquake, you're going to die under a pile of iPhone cases. Because it's just like 15 years worth of product boxes down there. Anyway, we're going off topic already. Okay, before we dive into our first Apple story, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website to promote your physical or online business, if you want to promote yourself to potential employers, if you want to sell products or services of all kinds, you need to head over to squarespace.com/cultcast and get started with a Squarespace website. With a Squarespace website, you can build it all by yourself and manage it with no help from anyone else. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. You just choose a template, and within mere moments, you can have a website up and running, or you can really dive in and customize absolutely everything. And, you know, within an hour or two, you have a beautiful website that looks like it was programmed by a developer. It's really powerful. It's really cool. And it's fun to use and it's fun to play with. Plus, it has built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer service. And everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. You build one website and Squarespace automatically optimizes it so it looks great on any device that visits. Check it out at squarespace.com/cultcast. Use the offer code Cultcast at checkout. You'll get 10% off your first order. And if you order a year of service, you also get a free domain name and an additional discount. It turns out to be a really nice, hefty discount at squarespace.com/cultcast. All right, let's go and talk about WWDC. So we knew it was happening, but they've started sending out press invites. And on June 4th at 10 a.m., you can either watch it live if you were lucky enough to get invited to go see it, like we did, because we're special and very powerful. Damn. And Apple thinks the highest of us. And then also you can watch it online. And interesting note about that, actually, that we'll talk about here in a second. But Buster, I got the impression from you before we started recording that you're actually going to it. Are you going?
No, I'm not going to WWDC.
Oh, I thought you were going to be there. Whoa, no. Who the heck's going? No, they sending Leander?
Leander is going.
He's literally the worst representative from Cult of Mac that could possibly be going. He's going to party way too hard, and we're never going to be invited back.
Oh, my heavens.
Lewis, and you should be going. You're the moderate one.
Yeah. He was like, they sent me. I don't want to do it. I was like, well, send Lewis. Like,
It's so much pressure. So many famous people in the room, high-powered people in the room. You're going to be, you know, mere feet from Tim Cook, which, you know, it's like seeing Michael Jackson in person. You start trembling, you start crying, you know? You're not sure what to say. You start flubbing your sentences. And is it going to be just him, Lewis?
You know what? I haven't actually talked to him about this. Okay. All I saw is a thing in Slack saying, oh, yeah, guess what? So I'm pretty sure it's probably just for him. Although I haven't checked my spam folder. I instructed everybody else.
He said that it was going to be live-blogged, and we know that he doesn't like to do any work. So if he goes, who's going to actually be covering the event?
Well, he'll be. I mean, the thing is,
he's got to sneak Lewis into his backpack.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a good thing. You're medium-sized.
We'll be covering the rest of it like we always do from the TV in the comfort of our own home, right? Yeah. Where you can actually get more work done than sitting with a laptop balanced on your knees typing frantically. So, what's awesome about having Leander go down there is he knows everybody, knows all the history of Apple. He recognizes everybody. He's like Rain Man when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry about the curse word.
Yeah, I'll bleep that out. Thanks.
And also what's amazing about that is he has an ability to look around and see something interesting and spin it into something interesting for people.
He is good at spin, isn't
about.
He?
Well, he's good at it.
He is great. He's got that British like tabloid spin mentality.
He does.
You know?
He definitely does.
And just identifying something interesting.
Absolutely. And he's real surly, like Simon Cowell. Americans love that stuff. They eat that stuff up. he's gonna be the hit of the ball. Well, that's great. So Leander will be there, and he'll be able to give us a firsthand account when he gets back of what it was like to be in the room. That is, if he remembers, because he'll be on, what time does it start? 10 a.m.? He'll be on AL 10 or 11 by then. You know, and I'm sure the parties afterwards are just going to be insane. And he's going to be out there with the executive team just getting crunks.
Dude, him and Johnny, they're going to be toasting it up. Yeah.
Getting sloppy at the hands on.
Yeah.
He's gonna I dropped it. Oh, heavens.
That was a good impression, actually. And then when he comes back, he'll make sure he describes the gadgets as astonishing. That's his word.
Truly magical.
I thought it was really, really, really astonishing.
Come back with some Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, for sure. I wish I could go. I want to make a mecha to Apple Park so very badly. It would be like going to Disneyland. You know, it's just that magical experience. You walk in, the architecture is really beautiful. You're amongst your people. I think that would be really incredible. What are we going to do to get us up?
I don't know. If any Apple employees listen to this podcast and want to sneak us in on their lunch break someday.
There you go.
That would be cool.
I would make a trip out there just to do that. Oh, if we could arrange for a tour, just to go out there and have a tour for an afternoon, I wonder if they would let us do that.
Oh, I think we could do some silly stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, we'd keep most of it confidential. You know, I'm not asking for a tour in the design lab or anything. I just want to hang out, absorb the vibe.
Walk into a glass wall.
Yeah. maybe steal a prototype. Like Gizmodo did. Yeah. Jeez. I'm just joking, by the way. Joking. Okay, so here's some more good news. For those of you that will not be going to WWDC, which is probably most everyone listening, you can now live stream the keynotes on Chrome and Firefox. For the first time ever, Apple is adding support for these two browsers. And Lewis got some very hot news right before we started recording, which was what, Lewis?
About amazing fact that it can now be streamed on a PC.
Yes, that's
dude.
First time ever. Whoa,
that's a new development. That's gonna make it a lot easier for people. I've had to carry my iPad around with me before because I had a PC available to me, but I couldn't stream the keynotes on it because Apple, for whatever reason, just didn't support it.
I'm thinking as a Mac user, like I'm super psyched about this because the one time a year when I will open up Safari is because you have to stream Apple keynotes or like the investor calls, but now I can do it in Chrome. So like,
wait a second,
I'm hyped for that reason.
What do you mean the one time a year you open up Safari? Oh, you mean because
I only ever use Safari to listen to like the investor calls or Apple's keynotes because they've never support anything other than Safari until this keynote. I think
I see. Yeah. You know, the thing about Chrome, I do like Chrome a lot, but...
I use Safari,
yeah, because it extends your battery power so much. Chrome zaps your battery. It just uses so many more CPU cycles on the Mac. I don't know if that's still true. It used to be true, and it probably is still true to a certain degree, but I think it's better than it used to be.
I stay plugged in all day, so yeah.
You know what? I stay plugged in most days, too.
Yeah.
And Chrome syncs across all my devices, all my bookmarks and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm a Mac Chrome and a PC user. So, Chrome is cross-platform. Yeah. All right. So there you have it. We will, of course, be covering all the stuff announced. Well, I guess we'll talk about that next show. We'll talk about that next show, our expectations, because it's not for another week and a half. So we'll be doing that next show. Okay, Buster, let's talk about this sad, sad turn of events for the Apple Car.
Oh.
You know, it began as such a aspiring project, you know?
Yeah.
What was it, 2014? Apple had planned to build a single vehicle that would upend society and industry. I'm reading Buster's words here. Aren't they magnificent?
Really?
Yeah. Didn't you write
Damn.
That? I don't know. I thought you did. And what would become the automotive version of the iPhone? Isn't that what we all wanted? We wanted a car that was just like the iPhone. But that's not where we are now, is it, Buster?
No.
It's fallen so very far. Where are we at now?
Oh, man. We're doing just like VW shuttle bus projects. Like, happy to get that because BMW and Mercedes don't want to hang out with Apple anymore, I guess.
So, and it's literally a shuttle bus, like something that's meant to port people around, like at the airport.
Yeah. So, like you're saying, in like 2014, people thought like Apple was trying to take on Tesla. And now it's like, now they're just trying to make their own self-driving shuttle bus to ferry employees around campus and stuff. Like, it's just so pathetic, like, from what we thought it would be.
They were so confident, too, that they were going to be able to build this magnificent car. They had up to 1,000 people working on it. And it just turns out, and I think Elon Musk has made this point before, too, that building a car is a lot harder than it actually looks. All these guys from Silicon Valley think that building cars is easy, but look how hard it's been for Tesla. And people are practically throwing their money at Tesla just to get their car out the door, and they still can't even do it. I mean, they have like all the resources in the world available to them. And so Apple, at a certain point, realized that, oh my gosh, this is way harder than we thought, y'all. And that was a quote. And then they decided to partner or try to partner with other car manufacturers. And I just learned this researching this story. Tim Cook, he's a BMW driver, loves his BMW. And they wanted to partner with BMW, but BMW wouldn't do it because Apple, as they always do, they make things difficult. They wanted to control the entire experience and the customer relationship. Well, why would BMW let Apple take over their car and just become a manufacturer for Apple? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I think it was something to the point, like the New York Times story said, that Apple wanted access to like a parts level type of a partnership with BMW or Mercedes, and both of them were like, we're not giving you that deep level of access to our stuff.
Those are both German companies, right?
Yeah.
So Apple asked and they said, nein!
But then VW said, yeah?
Said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you betcha. Yeah. Yeah, well, so this was another interesting part of the story. So VW, why would they do it? Well, they've had their brand sullied so badly from that whole Dieselgate thing that happened, where they were basically lying about their emissions and making it seem as though their cars burned cleaner than they actually did. I don't know how much it actually affected their brand. I do know someone who actually owned one of those brand new V-dubs, and the value of the car has plummeted. She's trying to get a bunch of money from Volkswagen. I don't know where it's landed. I think that VW is buying those cars back from them. I could be totally wrong about that, but it's a huge mess, and she wasn't sure where she sat. So anyway, I think it's, you know, made VW look worse. So an opportunity to partner with Apple. They were all over that, and maybe it will make them look cool again. I don't know. What were you going to say, Buster?
Well, like, I think, like, VW and Apple, like, design aesthetically, like, those companies, like, meld together really well. So I think more so than, like, BMW or Mercedes. So in some ways, like, it's not a surprise that those two would partner up, because I think they both like simplicity and design, and those are things that I think they would both bring to the table for, like, a new experience for cars.
I think that's true. And yeah, they have really good looking cars, don't they? Although the van that they are working with is a commercial people mover van called the T6.
That's
and
poo-poo.
It's not very sexy.
No.
Not very
sexy.
They
have other sexier, newer vans that they're coming out with. So that's, yeah, I'm surprised that they're going with like this just like industrial crappy looking van that they have.
So this seems to be just an experiment and maybe not the final product, because
right,
there's not really a whole lot of information on what happens after they make these vans together, and this seems like it would not be the final step. They are maybe just testing to see if they can get a van working and then kind of take it from there. But what a huge decline from the original vision to go from that to a cargo van that's just going to cart people around Apple Park like an airport shuttle, you know, not and the Apple car we were hoping for.
Like, all of the team is dedicated to that, supposedly. Like, most of the team is, like, dedicated to just the shuttle bus project now. Like, the right. team that was supposed to be just working on, like, the autonomous driving stuff. So,
and they were also running behind. The van was supposed to come out in 2018, and they're going to miss that deadline.
Apple just seems so far behind, like, Waymo and Uber and other people who are already just, like, a couple years into self-driving cars. So, it's... Leander had a whole theory. Maybe Lewis could make sense of it. He was spouting this off last night on Slack, but had a theory that the vans are just like a cover for like Apple is still like trying to make a car, but like this is all just like a cover for it in like a long play. I don't know.
I love it. That sounds exactly like something Lando would say. He's covering for him. You're using it wrong. You're using it wrong, Kaney. That's what I'm gonna start calling him. He's always got some way to defend them, and maybe that will end up being true eventually. I don't think that's what they're doing. I don't think it's a cover. I think that they're just trying to get things working, and this is a great way for them to experiment and iterate, and they'll create something with V-Dub, get it working. It will shuttle people around. They'll test it on campus, where if it runs over any Apple employees, they don't care because it's their own people. They're like, oh, sorry, John got ran over. Oh, well. You know, let's update the algorithm so no one else gets pummeled by the van. And then they'll, you know, make it better, fine-tune it, and eventually release a car for actual people. But what I want is the vision that they originally came up with. It's an electric driverless car, lush interior. It's like a lounge or a living room inside. You're facing each other. You know, it's built like an autonomous car. And you just sit in it. You relax. You know, everything has chamfered edges and beautiful leathers that were handpicked by Johnny Ive and the industrial design team. And it's like a cool vibe. Everything. It's like being in your own limo.
Oh, yeah. I feel it.
You know, that's the experience that I'm willing to pay for. And when it comes out, it will undoubtedly be like $125,000 or something like that.
Oh, dude, for the cheap model.
Yeah, unless you want the upgraded
for
RAM.
The 32 gigabyte one. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. 32 gigs is going to be 150. And then if you want 500 gigs or 512, it will be like $200,000. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, let's move on to today in Apple history. I'm starting to really love these segments because they really connect you to the cool stuff that Apple's done in the past. And it's the stuff that you fell in love with and then disappeared and then you just don't think about anymore. Well, we got a great one this week. It is the 12-year anniversary. It was on May 21st, the 12-year anniversary of the Apple Get a Mac campaign. Do you remember those commercials, Lewis?
Yeah.
Weren't those great commercials?
Yeah, they were. And I got to say, back then, I was a guy using a PC. And,
you were?
I felt kind of inferior because of them. Well
done.
Did
you dress like John Hodgman, too?
Well, only at funerals.
You loved Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah. You know, I had a very specific reason for using a PC. Two, and one is that I was a cheapskate. But another one was I used a particular piece of software that was not available.
Which is what?
Dragon. Dictate.
Oh, naturally speaking?
Even way before that, Dragon Dictate.
Yeah.
Wow. But, yeah.
You used that all the way back then?
Yeah, I used this, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Were you
dictating
your blog post or something?
I used this when it was one word at a time. Like, Bob went down the street.
Huh.
How is that
possibly useful?
Well, It was actually, and if you can't type, it's extremely helpful. Plus, way back then, the really great thing about it was you could write these long macros and things, and like if you had to do a bunch of coding, you know, like I mean, I was just doing blog work, but there were certain bits of code that I'd write little snippets for, and just you know, you just say it, and there it is, boom, done.
But so, if you're speaking like this. Clever. When you're writing a blog post, that seems like something that would drive you insane.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it requires a certain mindset.
Does it make you more thoughtful?
I think it does sort of change the way you write a little bit. I think you have to think it out. But, I mean, you know, you're doing that with your hands anyway. If you're sitting there typing, I mean, I still type now. But, you know, if you're typing, you find yourself going back and, you know, hitting backspace, oh, rewrite.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a different input, and so it's, interesting to hear it that way.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I in some ways, there was nothing wrong with that discrete voice recognition as opposed to now where you can say a whole sentence. I mean, it's definitely slower, but wasn't bad.
Okay. But, like, so you're one person, I think, that relies on Siri or tries to give Siri a chance and voice recognition a chance more than anybody I know.
Well, so, hey, like, man.
Like, have you seen, like, any progress since then?
Honestly, man, I mean, 2 years ago, I thought it was amazing. Because, you know, every phone in the world, you can sit there and do this stuff. Lately, I've complained about this before, I see Apple voice recognition going the wrong way. It's thinking too much. I can't tell you. This happens to me at least once a week where I'm, you know, answering an email, you know, blah, 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 you know, dash Lewis, thanks, comma Lewis, and it types my name right. And I sit there and I literally watch it go and spell it. It backspaces and spells it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix that. And I've gone through and added things. It knows my name, you know. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre quirk of it. And it literally drives me crazy.
My doctor told me if I don't stop using Siri, I'm going to have to go on blood pressure meds. Really? So I'm taking a break. Yeah. I just can't handle it anymore. It's like when I get something wrong, my eye starts twitching and my blood pressure immediately goes to like dangerous levels when I get something wrong. And you just need to do something really simple for you.
I see it doing this kind of thing a lot where it initially gets it right and then you can just see it. You just see the cursor start moving to the left and erasing the right part and replacing it with some kind of gibberish.
Yeah, that is odd. And that's been going on for a while. You've been complaining about this for a long time.
That is the opposite of artificial intelligence. Yeah. That is like stupid.
It's counterintelligence.
It's literally annoying as hell. It is,
yeah.
I actually use it less now than I did a year ago because it's gotten worse.
Right, especially when you're in the car and you're trying to do something. I have completely stopped dictating text messages anymore. I don't even try to do that anymore. I just use it for simple commands now. So if I'm trying to check the weather, if I want to call somebody, or if I want to bring up a map to somewhere, then I'll use it for that kind of thing. But other than that, I don't even use it.
Well, in some ways, Siri is like that old discrete voice recognition where if you originally, when you had to use these things, you know, in addition to saying one word at a time, they would have like a command mode where you would say, you know, open a document. And because that's such a small, discrete thing, and it doesn't have to think about that, it does it instantly. Open a document. Yeah. Okay. It knows exactly what to do. But if you say open a page, or you know, if you vary in any way from that precise statement back then, it wouldn't work at all. So Siri is good still at that kind of, you know, did you say it exactly what Siri thinks you're going to say? But when it starts trying to, like, you know, be smarter and deal with something that's a little more complex, you see it overthinking and
All right, let me finish the rest of the story because I started it and then we completely abandoned this story. Yeah, that tends to happen. So May 21st, 2010, I should be more specific. Apple brought an end to its long-running, award-winning Get a Mac marketing campaign. The commercials that we all love, I use them for intros or podcast intros all the time because there were 66 episodes that they put out. And that's just in the U.S. What I didn't realize until Leander told me is they had different versions for different countries. And the British ones were fantastic.
Yeah,
I would say in some cases they were even better. Yeah, the British guy that they used was perfect.
Yeah, he's so good.
I don't know what his name is, but apparently he's a famous person in Britain.
Because he's from, what's that one British comedy tech show? It's like it was like Tech Squad or something like that, where they're like basically tech support, IT Squad or something like that.
Oh, it was a very I know British what you're talking show. About. I can't remember the name of it though. Yeah, it had
but
very
he's
British
in that
it.
Show, and it's like but IT the British tech version. Guys. Yeah.
What was it called? It was literally called IT.
The IT
Crowd, I think.
IT Crowd. That was it. Right. Yeah, okay. Because they made the American version too, right? They had two versions, one for... Okay, good. Yeah, so the European versions were really good. I'll probably have started the episode with one of those ads. And those ads were so genius. And they stood on their own. They're like watching little mini TV episodes. You know, they transcended advertising, which is what Apple... I don't know if they do this as much these days, but they used to do it so well. And the ads were just fun to watch, regardless of if you liked Apple or not. And so they debuted these ads in 2006. As all of you know, Justin Long was the cool, youthful Mac. He's like a member of the cult cast, basically. And then the comedian John Hodgman played the stuffy, awkward PC guy. You know who would be greatest PC? Leander Caney. Leander Caney would be great. Don't you think? Put him in a brown suit. You know, it's kind of stuff. He gets irritated himself, really easily. Yeah. He's always having problems with this computer. you know, definitely. He would make a beloved PC character. So Apple retired the ads after 66 episodes on May 21st, 2010. They carried on the advertising on their website for a while, but then they eventually retired all of it and replaced Get a Mac with Why You'll Love a Mac, which is not nearly as memorable, not nearly as much fun, not nearly as cool. I think they should bring the Get a Mac ads back. I think that would be a spark of genius, actually. Bring both those characters back, because people love them.
I think they should bring them back for like iPhone versus Android, personally.
That's actually a pretty good idea right there.
Because, no, like the Mac versus PC thing is kind of dead, but like Android versus iPhone is still alive for some people.
Mac versus PC is dead, isn't it? I mean, Mac won. So you're just beating a dead horse at this point. You know, as far as the cool wars go, it's much cooler if you like to own a Mac than it is to own like a PC of some kind.
True.
That's a good idea, Buster. iOS versus versus Android. Because that's the battle they're fighting now.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that said, we should move on to the final segment of the show. Get to know your cultists. This is a segment where we answer a selection of questions that help us get to know each other better, help you get to know us better. And we've got a very nice selection of questions here. And the very first one comes from one of our listeners. His name's Yaz. It's either Jazz or Yaz. I'm hoping it's Yaz.
Oh, I have a
Because that really flows. My name's Yaz. You mean Jazz? No. Yaz. And he asks on Twitter, Yanny or Laurel? To which you guys answered earlier. Huh? Because you didn't even know what this question was talking about. Buster, do you have the audio up?
Hold on.
Can you bring it up? I'll vamp while you're bringing this up. So, wow. That's so weird. That's
totally weird.
So what are you hearing?
Laurel.
It sounds like, wow. Because to me it sounds like it says Yeary.
Yes, it sounds like it's saying Yanny, right?
Not even Yanny. Yeary. Yeary.
Laurel.
See, I'm hearing
How
Laurel.
Is that?
I'm hearing Yanny. Laurel right now too, but the first time I did this, I heard Yanny every single time. Yeary. It's like if somebody... If somebody plays the audio over some type of digital method, like I was listening to a YouTube video of someone playing this and it sounded like Laurel, and you're playing it and it's coming through my headphones and it sounds like Laurel. But when I heard it in person on my computer, it sounded like Yanny.
Really?
So yeah, I'm sticking with Yanny because I think if I hear it in person, that's what I'm hearing. And you heard something not there at all, did you, Liz? You're a little...
Yuri Andropov is what I heard.
Oh, what?
Okay, well, I heard... I'm sticking with Yanny. Okay, next question. Name a food that you're embarrassed to love, Lewis.
Dude, what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm actually embarrassed to love this, but I'm going to go with this anyway.
I feel like we've answered iterations of this question before, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But
Should
go ahead.
We stop? Okay.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
White Castle cheeseburgers.
Ooh, White Castle
sliders.
God. I've never eaten there.
God. What?
That Buster sounds. It sounds like it's giving Buster explosive diarrhea, though, the way he's complaining over there.
Time to get on a plane and get yourself a 20 sack and go to town.
20 sack.
Do not understand people that love that shit.
What's so bad about it, Buster?
Oh, like maybe the oversimplification of it in a way. I don't know. Like, yeah.
What is that supposed to mean? I don't even know what that means.
Ah, like they're such like because like White Castles are such smaller like burgers than like a real burger that you have out here. So it's just like puny, but like greasy and more bun than meat, and there's just nothing in there. It just sounds like a lot of bread to me.
Yeah.
So you don't know what these are? Is that right, Irfan?
I know what they are because
you saw Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, I mean I saw the other Kumar. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I loved that movie so much that I created a Twitter account called The Real Neil Patrick Harris, and then I got followed by like 50,000 people. You know, it was like a big story.
Holy crap! Yeah. Another diversion.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about that, you should Google. Irfan Elijah ignites my secret life as a celebrity Twitter imposter. Because I was inspired to create this Neil Patrick Harris Twitter account based on the character of Neil Patrick Harris in that movie as a joke. And then it was before Twitter was huge and people thought it was the real Neil Patrick Harris. And I started getting tweeted by like Jimmy Fallon and all these other celebrities were including me in their tweets. It was crazy, man. It was total chaos. Because
you and Neil Patrick Harris are probably on the same wavelength, too. So, like, really worked out well, I think.
People thought I was him. People thought I was him. Yeah. And I had a great time pretending to be him for a while.
Did you ever end up meeting him?
No, I didn't. And then he had his publicist contact Twitter, and they got me kicked off. And then I had my account I had my account reinstated, and then they got me kicked off again. And then he finally joined Twitter as actually NPH. I was the real NPH, and he joined as actually NPH. So I still feel good about it because I know that his Twitter handle is in response to my Twitter handle. It's an iteration of what I was doing. I truly was the first NPH.
I was Neil Patrick Harris before Neil Patrick Harris was
exactly with Neil Patrick Harris. That's exactly right. He's actually NPH. I was the real NPH, and I think my NPH was more entertaining, quite honestly. But in any case, so yeah, that was my experience with White Castle. I've never actually been there. I've never seen one in person, but I always hear people say that they love it. But I like buns. I'm normally a buns man, but you know, too much buns is it's just too much buns. I like to have a slender buns on my on my burger. In fact, sometimes I do a lettuce burger. Quite honestly,
White Castles are better if you don't think of them as burgers because they're not. You know, kind of like a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's not really a burger. Yeah. You know, it's not a delicious meaty burger. It's this other thing that tastes delicious.
Okay, it's fast. It's a fast food burger.
Yeah, I mean they're tiny too.
I don't accept that though. Like, it has to. You have to commit one way or the other. Are you going to be a burger?
I don't accept that answer, Lewis.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. We don't even call them White Castle burgers. We call them
sliders.
White Castles. White Castles. I got some White Castles.
But you said they're sliders, though, right? So
that's the colloquial term for them.
Okay, well, that definitely denotes a different product than a cheeseburger or something. Because sliders are usually very bunny, and you know, not a lot of meat in them.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. All bread, no meat.
I just might have to go get on a plane and go get some now. I'm starving.
Oh, because you don't have any out there in San Francisco either.
They have to have one out there.
This is what I actually am a bit embarrassed to say. I actually have some frozen ones in my freezer.
Oh. They're going to be terrible when you thaw them. They're going to be dry and gross.
No, see, that's the thing. You microwave them, and they just kind of, you know, they're just kind of moist and steamy and just the way they are. You know, I would not eat one of those. I would not pull those out at a dinner party. Hey, who wants a slider?
Because you want to keep them all for yourself.
That is kind of, so I guess I'm going to return to being, I actually am a little embarrassed. I don't necessarily want to eat them in public, but yeah, you know what?
Damn.
Once in a while, delicious little treat.
Okay. You know, I've pitched multiple foods I'm embarrassed about before on this show. I think one of them was Funyuns, which I freaking love, but I swear they're so embarrassing to eat. Like, I'm so self-conscious about eating Funyuns. There's just something about them that just make me feel like a huge loser when I'm eating Funyuns. It's like you're eating these fake onion rings out of a bag. But even more than that, you know what I love is just a big, giant pickle, like just a big old pickle.
God, disgusting.
Oh, dude, there's like a popular pickle brand. It has a stork on it.
Classic
pickles.
Classic.
Oh, like just a big old juicy dill. Just put that in your mouth and shake it around. Oh, give me that pickle.
Do you like the half ones or the spears?
Yeah,
I'm
not picky. I'll eat me half. I'll do the quarters. I'll do the halves. I prefer them. I probably prefer the halves, actually, quite honestly, because like then you put the bumpy side on your tongue and you bite into it and you flip it over. But is there anything more embarrassing than just munching on a giant pickle? There's not really. I don't know what it is.
There is. Pickle on a stick.
I've never even heard of that.
What? Is it deep fried? They could be. Yeah, you have not been to enough state fairs. That's the problem.
I like my pickles cold. I'm like I'm like Gollum. I like pickle cold and wriggling. I just want to shake it around. Nice and crisp. You bite into it and juices spray everywhere. I'm not trying to eat it warm. Ugh. It's a warm cucumber.
So is sauerkraut.
Yeah, I guess I eat my sauerkraut.
That's actually completely wrong. I'm losing my mind. I'm so hungry now, and I can't stop thinking about anything except
White
Castle.
Cabbage. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you're tripping now. Okay.
Completely wrong.
Let's move on. We're running on time anyway, so we got to move on. Okay,
we didn't get to hear Buster's embarrassing food.
Yeah, we did.
I'm not embarrassed about any food. Like, you know, I'll take all of them.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
You never been eating someone and you saw someone looking at you and you're like, oh man.
Only when I have full beard. You know, yeah, ice cream yeah. with the full beard is hard.
Oh that, boy, I got a great. Oh yeah, yeah, I got a video of it on my phone. I should find it and post it. I like to post that to Twitter like once a year, just to remind people how glorious it is to watch a full beard, to watch a cone, a chocolate dip cone disappear into a full grown man's beard. Jeez, I got a video of that, and it was delicious. Ugh. And the cone looked good too. okay. Let's do one of the greatest film protagonists of all time, in your opinion. Buster, I know you read a lot of books. I guess this is film only. So,
film.
But you watch a lot of movies. So what do you got for us on this?
I would say Al f***ing Swearengen, which Ooh. If you've... Have you watched Deadwood before?
No. Yes. My roommates used to do the Deadwood Challenge, though. They used to watch that show, and every time someone dropped the F-bomb, they would drink.
Okay, yeah.
What about the C-bomb?
Al Swearengen says, like, yeah, he, like, cusses like a mofo.
He's the guy with the soul patch, right?
Yeah, but, okay. like, so in Deadwood, you're kind of rooting for the sheriff, but after, like, a few seasons, you realize the real protagonist is Al Swearengen, who has the town's best interest at heart. Like, nobody else is. It's, like, more of himself, and he's, like, a real hard-ass, like, Western dude. And, like, he will, like, kill somebody if he needs to, but also is like a really like has a sweet side at the same time. And so I think that's like one of the most interesting characters I've seen in like film. Like HBO has a lot of great shows, but Al Swearengen in Deadwood I think is like super underrated.
It's like Robert De Niro's character in Heat.
Have you seen that movie? Yeah, similar, yeah.
Where he's the bad guy, but he's the guy that you like, and he's actually a good guy, but he, you know, lives a life of crime.
Yeah, like if you've seen Ian McShane in anything, like he's just so good at that role of being like the kind of like an anti-hero. And so, yeah, so I think that's why it works really well for him in that series, is because it's like the perfect anti-hero role, whereas like there's already an anti-hero guy in it who's supposed to be the sheriff who's like working against that. But really, I think like Al Swearengen is like one of the coolest dudes in that series.
Based on a true person, by the way.
Oh, is it? Is, yeah. Yeah.
What is that? Like, how was that based on a true person? Was that a historical show?
Yeah, a lot of the shit in the show is. Al Swearengen is, and also, like, a couple other people in the show are, like, historical.
I did not know that.
Buffalo Bill was in there, right?
Yeah, Buffalo Bill Hitchcock, yeah.
And what's the other one?
The chick.
Crazy Annie. What's her name?
Annie Oakley, I think, is... her show name, but I can't remember what her name is. Jane. Calamity Jane.
Calamity Jane.
That's a great name. Calamity Jane.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go next. You know, my protagonist, he's a true portrait of a man. He's got long, flowing hair. He is tough. He is firm with his enemies, but he's sensitive with those that he loves, protects those that he loves, and he just happens to be the greatest swordsman in the entire land. I could only be speaking about Mad Mardigan from the movie Willow.
I thought you were going to say Aragorn or something like that.
No, because Aragorn wasn't nearly as charismatic
as Mad Mardigan was. As soon as you said the flowing hair, I was, but yeah, Val Kilmer is Mad Mardigan. It's way better.
Dude, Mad Mardigan. You know, you wanted to be Mad Mardigan. He was great with a sword. All the women loved him, even though they told him that they didn't. And, you know, if he has to get away, he just rides a shield down the side of the mountain. Meanwhile, he's protecting a baby, and he's protecting Willow. This is from the movie Willow, of course, which I think was released in 1984.
Yeah.
But one of the best, I'm going to call him a superhero. One of the best superheroes movies that has ever given us. What were you going to say, Buster?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was like a movie I would watch a lot as a kid, which is just like totally cheesy, like superhero movie before like superhero movies were around. Yeah.
Still holds up, too.
Yeah.
So, such a good movie.
Especially with the Munchkins and the little people who, yeah, those two, those guys are funny.
Oh. And that was one of Kevin, help me out with his last name.
No, Spacey.
No, it was definitely not Kevin Spacey. He was one of the little fairy
guys?
Dudes. Yeah, I can't remember their names
Billy
either.
Billy Barty?
No, no, no.
Kevin?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well.
I never saw this movie.
Hold on.
You never saw
Willow?
This movie? Oh my gosh, what?
No, now I got to look it up. Hold on. Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, he's in other stuff.
He's been in all sorts of great stuff. But I think that was one of his first roles, or it might have been his breakout role as the little fairy dude, which brownies. They're brownies, weren't they?
Yes.
The brownies, right. Jeez. That was one of his first roles. Oh, man. Classic movie. Okay, Lewis, what do you got for us?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I am. Oh, I see what you're doing.
You talking to me? Yeah, yeah. So if you want to talk great, great protagonist characters, I got to go with Travis Bickle.
Travis
lead
who?
Character from 1976 film Taxi Driver.
That's what
I never saw it.
I what? Still haven't never seen saw it.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah.
But you haven't seen Willow.
Yeah, but you haven't seen Willow, so I think we're equal.
I will bet you one Taxi Driver versus two Willows any day of the week. I don't care. Ooh. I mean,
no, dude.
It's tough. That's
you
tough.
Shouldn't have said that because you're revealing yourself as a like film noob.
I understand the like cinematic history of Taxi Driver and like how important it is, but Willow is Willow
as an actual movie. Yeah,
yeah.
There's Willow, and then there's everything else.
You guys literally have never seen Taxi Driver.
I've never bothered to see it because you see so many like highlights. It's like one of those movies where it's like, oh yeah, I've seen it just by understanding pop culture in some ways.
You know what it's about?
Like, it's about a taxi driver who
nailed it.
Mentally unstable. Prostitute or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, isn't Robert De Niro was in that movie, wasn't
Robert,
he?
It's one of yeah, Robert one of De Niro's greatest roles.
One of his greatest roles, huh? Yeah. And, have you know, seen Meet the Fockers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is back when he was an actor.
Oh, yeah, right. Not a comedian.
Yeah, not a, you know, guy.
This is what gave
around.
Him the credibility for Meet the Fockers?
Yeah, this is back when he was, you know, skinny, scary, edgy actor, you know? Plays a taxi driver, Vietnam vet, who's driving around New York City back in the early 70s, totally, you know, seedy, scummy city, right? And he's just like, you know, disgusted by what he sees, you know, which I remember that time, you know, it was kind of gnarly. I mean, you used to think, oh, I wouldn't even want to go down to New York City because it's just too messed up, right?
Yeah,
too much crime, right. Too much everything. And, you know, it's this movie is just filled with his, like, monologues, you know, he's writing this kind of half crazy, half exactly accurate stuff in his things, you know, like he's just, you know, can't wait for, you know, just some line like, I can't wait for a rain to come and wash away all the scum. And,
that's a good
you know,
line
and
too.
He's a completely awkward kind of loser, you know, he's not very smart, he's not very, he's completely socially awkward, he's a loner, doesn't fit in, but he's, and he's nuts, you know, and he sets out to right some wrongs that he thinks are going on. And oddly enough, I hadn't watched this movie in a while. And I watched like the kind of climactic scene today just to try to remember what this is all about. And it's really bizarre, man. It's the scene where he like goes into, I just don't know if I should spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
40-year-old movie.
It's a 40-year-old movie.
Yeah,
you
that's right.
Spoil it at this point.
You're whetting my appetite now. I want to see it. I want
to
see it.
Well, let me just tell you.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it because I've heard people talk about this movie a lot.
You
should. Certainly not the first person who's mentioned it's been a great movie. I want to see Robert De Niro. I want to see the old Robert De Niro. I don't know any of the old Robert De Niro. I only know the Meet the Fockers Robert De Niro. Although he was great in Heat.
Yeah, he
was so good in
that
Heat.
Was like the kind of the end of him being a serious actor, okay. I think. I don't know. I mean, he used to be awesome.
He was he was a badass.
And this movie is, I mean, it's disturbing. And the reason you've heard so many quotes from this movie and things.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why you've heard these quotes. It's like a arty film. And the way that it ends is really interesting. And there's, it's just... I don't know how to say it. It's without ruining it. It's just a fascinating movie. So,
okay, it's
and,
on
you know,
my list.
Scorsese, you know, Martin Scorsese. I mean, come on,
classic Scorsese.
National treasure.
Okay, let's move on to the last one. Hope you guys got something for this. I definitely do. I was thinking about this, and I was like, I did so much stupid crap when I was young. Name something you did in your youth that you thought was cool that now you realize was horribly, horribly stupid. Lewis.
Chinko jeans.
Oh, I did those. Did you do those too?
Lewis was too old for Chinko jeans by the time those came out. But yeah, Chinko jeans, man. Gigantic jeans that were like five sizes too big for your foot, and you could fit three people inside of them at least. But for some reason, we thought those were really cool when I was in like seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. And yeah,
JNCOs, it's because they were really cool, Buster. At the time, they were cool. I used to wear my JNCO jeans with a wallet, with a chain. You know, I had like a chain going to my belt strap, my belt loop. And I can just think back to that time. I wanted to be a skater, even though I didn't actually skate. So I was a faux skater. And I thought I looked so cool. And I would just walk around with my JNCOs, covering my shoe in its entirety. And I just thought all the ladies wanted to date me.
Dude, why not? You got so much room in those pants. Like, invite me in.
So much space. So that's actually a great pick. I feel like we've talked about this on this show before.
We've definitely talked about
JNCOs before. I was going to talk about what we used to do for fun. So I grew up in this area where there really wasn't much to do, and you couldn't get anywhere. And if you didn't have a car, you couldn't go anywhere. You just had to stay around this area where we lived. We lived in like this isolated neighborhood up on this hill. And I used to do the stupidest crap, and we used to just go out at nights and just vandalize stuff. We would just straight up vandalize. There's no other way to say it. We would vandalize like people's properties for fun. I remember we used to like take out bottles of hairspray and like spray stuff on like fences and then light it on fire and like watch the words burn off of the fence. Wow. And then I know this is terrible. I think about things that I used to do and I'm like, first of all, how did you not get arrested?
And second of all,
yeah, we're shot. Well, no one was out at night, you know, with their guns in this neighborhood. And we would go out and like we would people had long driveways in this neighborhood or around this area. And then at the very end, they would have like these brick columns with like lamps on top of them. And we would pull the lamps off and then leave.
You fuckers.
I know. Terrible, terrible. We were terrible people. We were truly terrible people. I think about the stuff that I did when I was young. And I'm like, have I ever caught a kid doing that to my yard? I would body slam him. I'd take him to his parents' house crying.
Well, dang, man. It's funny. I was going to come up with something kind of exactly the same thing. I guess the statute of limitations has expired.
Actually, I probably should have checked that before I revealed those facts.
Actually, then I started thinking about it. I was like, well, what if actually somebody heard this and remembered? And so I'm not even going to talk about that. But I got many of the same kind of memories. But so then the other thing I can think of that was really horribly stupid, we used to – there was a kind of a soybean field. Actually, it was soybeans or corn, depending on the year, you know, crop rotation being what it is. Well, in the spring, back behind our house, there would just, you know, be a big plowed field, right, because they have to get ready to plant. I remember we went out there, and you know what we did? We threw dirt clods at each other.
That actually sounds like a good old time, Lewis. Yeah,
well, let me just tell you, anybody out there, don't throw dirt clods at each other. I got hit right smack in the eye with a dirt clod. And there was a time when I didn't wear glasses. And it ended right around the time I got hit in the eye with a dirt clod. And I actually had to go to the doctor, and they were talking about it was on the table that they were going to sedate me for a week so that I couldn't move because I had done so much damage to my right eye.
You're kidding.
I mean, it was almost like Bionic Man time. They're thinking about pulling it out and putting in a microscope. But my parents are like, no, you know, he'll be mellow. We can, you know, we'll. My parents would pick me up and take me to the bathroom. That's how messed up.
Wait. So your eye was so bad that they didn't want you to move?
Yeah, it was some kind of, I don't
like
even remember.
Detached from your retina or something?
I don't really actually remember the exact details, but there was some, I don't know if they were worried I was going to have
blind.
A stroke or what. Yeah, I mean, that was it. They were like, you know, he could lose the eye. So
wow.
And I to this day, I can see with glasses, but I'm horribly, one eye is bad and the other one is horrendous. The other eye, I got hit in the eye with a rock because we were throwing rocks at each other, sliding down a slide. So,
That's like the true American pastime for young kids doing stupid stuff. Like just going out to a field, just throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah. Let's not throw rocks at each other anymore.
We used to do that with Roman candles. You know what those are, right? You just shoot those 3,000 degree fireballs at each other.
We used to go to like pecan orchards and have duel offs because like we have a lot of pecan orchards where I grew up, and so it'd be like you grab like two Roman candles and just like take off, and then like you're trying to hit each other with it while also get like dodging it.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason that there's that saying, you know, it's all fun till someone loses an eye.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I oftentimes think that things are way too, you know, sanitized and safe and everything these days. I don't have kids, but I see the way people, you know, like, oh my God, they couldn't possibly, you know, walk a block by themselves at age 14, yeah. You know, and it's like, okay, dude. Well, you know, perhaps there's a middle ground between let's throw rocks at each other's heads and let's...
Wisdom for the ages, Lewis. We have to wrap up on that. There's nothing that we've said in this show that was more wise than what you just said. So, oh, with that, please don't report us to the police. Please don't shoot any of your brothers or sisters with Roman candles or throw rocks at their heads. These are all bad things. These are things that you shouldn't do in your life.
Stay away from Gene Co. jeans.
And, well, you know what? That's making a comeback. And actually, I was thinking about buying a pair on Amazon and bringing that look back. But we can talk about that next show. Anyway, that's all the cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to tell us any of the stupid things that you did when you were growing up, if there's a movie that you saw that we missed, I'm at Airfun. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Buster is at BST3R. This has been the cast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys, you skaters, next time.
Oh, later, skater.
I don't think I've ever even ridden on a skateboard, Buster.
Really?
Not, I don't think so. I looked like a skater. Everyone thought I was
a
skater.
You grew up in Seattle?
Yeah.
Wow, so much potential there.
I was such a poser, dude. The ultimate poser.
Laurel.
That's pretty good, actually.
Nanny. Nanny.
You should be a vocal actor, Lewis.
ASMR.
I got the face for it.
You got the perfect face for voice acting. You kidding me? With that goatee, you should be... You should be in the first opening scenes of the next Star Wars movie. You could be like a Yoda type character. Paint you green.
Edit this copy, I shall.
How's my Wookiee?
It was decent. It's guttural. It's guttural.
It's hard to get that guttural.
It needs more seal lion in it, you know?
You got to really get it from down below. You got to flex something that I'm not flexing. It has to come from your inner being.
It has to hurt a little more.
Can't do any better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's tough.
It's like straining your groin. You got to feel a good pull in order to know that you're doing it.
Yeah, I can't do it at all. No idea.
Let's hear yours.
I can't do it.
That was a good start, though. It sounds like someone's trying to drown him.